You are listening to
Ben. We started last week analyzing in the Aseret Dibros, the first two Dibros, the Enoch Hashem Lokecha and the Lo Yelech Elohim Achupanai, which I pointed out is the definition in the Aseret Dibros defined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Me'atzam, concerning what pure monotheism is, what he wants the Jews to believe in when it comes to their relationship to him. We started last week getting into a very, very important question. I told you this week we're going to analyze it, a very, very perplexing problem. And that is, when the Rabbeinu Shem created the world, quite obviously everybody knew about this fact. Adam and Chava were mefarsim it to their children, to their grandchildren. So everybody emanated from Adam and Chava. This should have been a family tradition. So how in the world did idolatry become a force in this world? Where did that mistake begin? How did that mistake begin? And what's interesting is, I'm going to show you tonight, a machlokas between the Rambam and the Ramban concerning the history, how it began, and how early it began when it came to the history of the world. In the Makaris you have in front of you, I want you to turn in the with the Pesukim one to page 3b, which is the Ramban in his Perish L'Chumish on Pashas Yisra. And in it, he starts to develop exactly how, in fact, the concept of Avodah Zarah became a reality in this world. Where you see 3b and there's an A on the right hand side of the page, he says that the concept of Avodah Zarah, Hayu Shlosha Minim, there were three types or three evolutionary periods of Avodah Zarah as they developed in the world. We're going to see later on that his contention is that the concept of Avodah Zarah did not begin until the Dor HaHafraga, which already is 20 generations into Briyat HaOlam, because that the 20 generations means we're dealing already in the Tekufa of Avraham Avinu, because the Dor HaHafraga took place at the time of Avraham. So that's pretty far into the history of the world. Now, what were we thinking at that point in time for idolatry to, basically speaking, become a major concept, even though there's no question that there were people who were worshipping idolatry earlier, because by the time Parshas Noach came around at the end of the 10th generation, they're already basically accused of some of them worshipping idolatry and such. But the real major rebellion in all of its tokef really became a major movement later on after 20 generations. That's the opinion of the Ramban, as we're going to see very shortly. I will tell you the Rambam's opinion is that in his mind, the Tekufas Enosh, who was the Enochel of Adam HaRishon, the concept of idolatry already began, which means it's pretty early in the history of the world that this phenomenon became a phenomenon. But you'll see very shortly, as we get further into this, the difference between their shitos. Now let's go into the Ramban inside. HaRishonim, who were the first groups of Avodah Zarah? What did they worship? Hechelu la'avod es ha'malachim. They were angel worshippers. Sheheim ha'sichlon ha'nevdalim. It seems they were knowledgeable of the fact that God had created angels. On page 3b.
Letter A.
Yeah.
On the right side, yeah.
So they were Sichlim HaNigdalim. They were spiritual entities with divine knowledge and divine powers given to them by the Rabbanu Shalom. Ba'avura Shiyadu LeMiksasam Shurara Al-Humos. It seems the nations of the world were told that each and every one of the nations had their sar, their malach in Shemayim, that was in charge of them. King Shekosuf, as we'll find later on in Tanakh, sar malachis Yavan, the angel and child of malachis Yavan, sar malachis Paras, the angel in Shemayim that's in charge of Persia. V'chashvu, so therefore, by realizing they're angels above, that have an impact upon what happens to them below, and this was the tradition taught to them, going back to the time of Adam and Chava, Chashvu, those generations thought, Sheyesh lehem yecheles bam, lehetiv ulahara. They thought that because these malachim were given very various powers of divine essence, they have the ability to do good for them, they have the ability to do bad for them. So initially, when idolatry began, each nation as a nation worshipped its guardian angel in Shemayim as a way of eliciting that the angel should help them and give them a good fortune, as we say. Ki hayu harishonim yodamosan. It seems the early generations knew of this phenomenon. Veheim hanikraim b'tera b'ksuvim kulem elohim acherim elohei shohamim. That the Rabbanu Shalom referred to these specific angelic entities as other divine entities created by God. They are the powerful entities in Shemayim, the Elohei HaAmim, ki ha-malachim nikrokim Elohim, that the malachim are called Elohim b'loshin Tanakh, k'mo shenemar, hu Elohei Elohim, the Rabbanu Shalom is the God of all these God-powerful entities, and therefore, hishtachivu lo kol Elohim. Therefore, if that's the case, all other divine entities bow down in homage to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kigadah Hashem ikal Elohim. Even the early generations realized that the superior God or God essence in the world was the Rabbanu Shalom. All of these other godlike entities are subsidiary to Hashem. For afapi shahayu ovdim, even though they used to give divine worship and kavod to these angels, angel worship, modim, they knew in the earlier generations. The only one who is the most omnipotent divine force in the universe and has total power is the Rabbeinu Shalom. But nevertheless, since they felt that the Rabbeinu Shalom had given these angels a tremendous amount of divine capacity and power, they worshipped them as well. They call God the God of all godly entities. That he says, whoever worships other types of divine created entities like angels, Yecharam shall be destroyed. His kirim b'shem ha-yediya, to emphasize not just any type of Elohim entity, but referring to specifically to angels. So that was the first type of idolatrous behavior that took place in this world. That's the earlier generations. Habin Hasheni, the second Tekufa, started to be marchit. And what was that? Hashen Bavid Zara, Shechasu Lavid Lotzfa Hashmaim Hanir. We're now referring now specifically to the sun, the stars, the moon, the celestial bodies above. Some became worshippers of sun, worshippers of the moon, and worshippers of the various types of zodiac star formations in Shemayim. And I pointed out once, or basically we learned many, a good couple of years ago, about the fact that the Ramban, as a Mekubal, like I would say most Rishonim and Achronim later on, believe that from the beginning of Briya to Olam, the Rabbanu Shalom set up a system that besides astronomy, which is a science in its own right, he also set up another management system called the concept of judicial astrology, where Kochav and Mazalos and entities that were in charge of them were given power over human activity below. When I say given power, when it comes to judicial astrology, the teva, your nature, your personality, will depend upon what month of the year you're born, and what day of the week, and what hour of the day. When it comes to the tchunas hanefesh that you will be imbued with, the most famous example which the Gemara gives, that whoever is born under the influence of mazel, of Adam, of the red mazel, which is a reference to Mars and its powers, is going to be a bloodthirsty individual, but what you do with that bloodthirstiness will depend upon you. You could end up being a great surgeon. You could end up being a tremendous moyel. You could end up being a gavaldik hasheichet. We could end up being the most fantastic murderer on the face of this earth, which means you are a person who spills blood, but what you use that kayach for will depend upon you. Interesting, in Zohar literature, they compare Esav HaRasha to David HaMelech. It seems both were born under the Mars astrological simin, and both therefore involved in bloodshedding, but David did it as a Melchemes Hashem, as a warrior fighting the battles of Hashem. Esav used it as a way of destroying his enemies, destroying animals, and could obviously showing his power in this world. But there was a similarity because of a similar mazel they were born under. So Chazal looked upon this as judicial astrology, where the world at large, many of the things that happen to people on a personal level, what happened to a nation on a national level, events that happened to the world on an international level, were based upon the Kochavim HaZolos, the various star formations, the zodiac, the sun, the moon, and all of that, with angels as well being involved, determining, based upon certain factors, things that happen to human beings in this world. What Klal Yisrael were told through Avraham Avinu from the very beginning is when Hashem promised in Parshas Lech Lecha Avraham Avinu that you and Sarah are going to have a child. So the famous dialogue the Gemara has in Shabbos that we learned together is Avraham said to Rabban Shalom, with all due respect, Rabban Shalom, I'm an astrologer. I know the science of astrology. And based upon my astrological predictions, Sarah and I are not destined to have children. So therefore, what do you mean you're going to promise me in Parshas Lech Lecha, my children and grandchildren will inherit the bracha I was given to Avraham? I'm not destined to have any child with Sari Menum. So the Torah says, Vayyotzei say hachutza, and Chazal say, look up into the heavens. But Chazal Darshan is in Masech the Shabbos, I taught you, in a unique way. What do you mean, Ayyotzei bechutza? The Rebbe Hashem said, you're right. For most people, based upon astrological phenomenon, you would not normally be destined to have a child. I agree with you. But you have a power that I'm giving you, Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and your children, Klal Yisrael, your progeny, at Sefer Kol Daros. And what's that power? Ein Mazel LiYisrael, which means you're not bound by Mazalos, you're not bound by judicial astrology, you're able to supersede them through doing Gevaldik and Mitzvahs, as Tzedakah, Torah, Tefillah, very, very spiritual types of activities, you're able to overcome and mezgabra on the mazel and change it. And therefore, Avraham, for you, I'm going to do a couple of things now to change the mazel you saw. Number one is Zachina Hashem. His name was changed from Avram to Avraham, Sarai to Sarai. That's number one. Number two, Avram was the par excellence Baal Tzedakah, Shein Kamohu, the Baal Chesed. So that alone gave him a spiritual schus. And number three, the Rabbi Yishim did something which the Gemara mentions in Shabbos, that's Beledik. He said to Avram, for you, I'm going to change the star formation under which you and Sarah were born and move one of the Kachavim from one spot to another spot, which will change the Mazalot vis-a-vis you. So even B'derech Mazalot, you're going to be able to have a child when it comes to her. But this is the Koach, a Mazal Yisrael, which I'm giving to you and Klal Yisrael. Nobody else has that. So the Umas Olam realize that judicial astrology is a serious thing. There was not a king's court in the time of the world from going back thousands of years where there wasn't a court astrologer as the mayatz to the melech of exactly telling him what to do and how to do it and when to do it and where to do it. And what is interesting to note, that there were some chachamim, very famous chachamim, that were brilliant purist astrologers in judicial astrology. One of the most famous was the Ibn Ezra. He wrote books on astrology. We still have those books to this day. Some of them have been translated into English, because the Hebrew that they wrote, the astrology, you can't understand the Hebrew. But the fact of the matter is that it was known that some were very, very proficient. The only problem is, over time, is that the idolatrous nations took pure judicial astrology, gemacht the chalent with it, with their Avodah Zarah, and after a while, it wasn't pure astrology anymore. But pure astrology did exist, and therefore, since the Umas Olam realized the stars and the constellations, according to Ramban's approach, did have a power of them below, so what would you do if you were a guy? You would basically say, maybe if I ingratiate myself to the Mazalska Chavos, maybe I'll get a Gita Mazal. So let's see what the Ramban says. So he says, therefore, if that's the case, he says, Mehem Oivdim HaShemesh V'Hayerech, the sun and the moon, Mehem L'Mazal Men HaMazalot, Tikol Achas Men Umas Yodot Koach HaMazal Tifi Mishtol Aretz. They were familiar at that time tremendously with judicial astrology, Shulahem, V'Choshu, and they believe, Ki Bavadosam, that with their worship of these specific Mazalot, Yigaba HaMazal V'Yolahem, it will change their Mazal and benefit them. They stretched this out. Don't raise your eyes above to heaven. Basically speaking, be led aside from them. Bow down to them. All the other nations on the face of this earth have a certain dependency upon them. Claudius was able to supersede them, as we just mentioned. But the Banashim gave, besides a malach to each and every nation, it gave each nation its lucky star, its lucky mazel. Shaloti anidach achreim. You Klais, however, are not bound by this stuff, and therefore don't be led astray. La'avda. So therefore, Rabbi, so we therefore see stage two was worship of Kachava Mazalos. Now that doesn't mean that necessarily they forgot the Rabbi Shalom. It just means they added into their divine worship of these entities as well. And in fact, we now have a further development in this second level. Eila Noshim Shemechel La'asos Suros HaRabbos. Since they worshiped Kachava Mazalos and the zodiac had specific configurations, what did they do below? They made idols, figurines, which are basically symbolic of the star formations above. So those who worship lambs made statues of lambs. Those who worship fish made statues of fish. Therefore, Hechilasa, Suras, Harap, Psilas, Asharim, Vichamanim, when it comes to sun statues and tree statues, Kios and Suras, Mazalos, and since they knew judicial astrology, they knew the ascendancy, what time of day, what time of the week, what time of the month this specific mazal has its ascendancy to try to elicit its goodwill. And therefore they thought this was going to bring power and hatzlacha to them by this type of divine worship of these entities as well. The karav be'ena, that the second level of Avodah Zarah, Huchal B'gar HaFlaga, that the concept of worshiping of the Kachav Mazalot of the different nations was a result of the HaFlaga, that Hashem divided the entire united world into separate nations. Kasha Hefitzam Hashem El HaRatzos, U'moshim Kachav Mazalot L'machlech Hosei. Once the world was divided into different continents, into the Mideast, into Africa, into Europe, and therefore they knew of the fact the Kavod Mazalos were divided when it came to the Shlita, different parts of the inhabited human earth. Therefore they started to develop a worship towards them. Those who were building the tower of Migdal Bavel with Nimrod to rebel, their whole concept was to make one specific nation, a united nation, and they shouldn't divide. And with this power, there was a desire on Nimrod and Kedamah to rebel against the Rabbeinu Shalom with this united human race. What ultimately developed rabbis were professions. And once you develop a religion, you then have people becoming false prophets to prophesy on behalf of these entities. They claimed they were able to tell the future events based upon their closeness and representation of these powers in heaven. And therefore the concepts of auguring, the concepts of necromancy, kedama, all of this stuff was practiced. Now once again, the Ramban is a believer, Lishitaso, that the same way there's a Koyach HaTahar in this world, the spiritual purity, that the Baimusha, because of the Nisayon purposes, created a Koyach HaTuma. Basically speaking, an idolatrous reality, and therefore all of these types of fortune-telling and sorcery, Kedoma, were realities that Hashem created in this world with the power to challenge man's Bechira. Am I going to be loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tam Tiyem Hashem Elokecha? Or am I going to be involved in these types of sorceries and witchcraft and Kedoma, the black magic of the time, thinking that these Keichas Atuma will protect me more than the Rabbanisha? So there was an Assayin put for man in this world. And therefore, if that's the case, you have people using the Koyach HaTuma and its reality to challenge people. What's interesting is he says that these specific heavenly bodies, the stars, the moon, the sun, all of those bodies of Kochavim Lamaila have special sarim, which are also spiritual entities God created to control them in Shemayim, besides the Malachim above. Shechem Aviyah Kemalach B'Shemayim V'yoydem Asidos, and able to predict future events. U'mimin Aveidah Zos, we're down the other side of the page, on top. Hoyu Mehem Oivdem La'Noshim. Now what happened over here, there was a progression. From worshiping Kachavim Mazalais, and then having Nevi'im develop, which was supposedly espousing what these Kohen Mazalos were telling the Torahs, their future events, they started then into worshipping human beings who they felt had a special mazel that connected them, therefore that gave them greatness. So they figured if they're going to worship this human being, who this leader below, who has this Kavaldik mazel Kohach, it will impact. So he explains, if they saw somebody having tremendous power financially and politically below, or like Nebuchadnezzar as a classic example, the people of his country therefore figured in Babylonia, if they take his malchus upon themselves, the kavas and they love, and they put their kavana to trust in him, Yala mazala mimazala. The same way his mazal gave him tremendous power. So therefore, if that's the case, it's going to impact upon them as well in a similar fashion. The who come can yachshay. Not only they thought about the king that way, but the kings fooled themselves and they deified themselves. They thought that they were a partial deity. He says over here, the king thought that all the people put their power, the machshavas, in him, it will air his mazal hatzlacha in Shemayim, with the joint koyach of all the nefashos, putting their power and bitachin in the king, hamukhuvenes elav, the zehu das paro. Guess what? Paro thought this way about him. He thought he was a deity. I mean, that's why during the day he may believe he didn't have to go to the bathroom, so people should think he was a malach or a deity. Kedivir abaseinu. Also, the das of Sancheriv. Sh'amah kasev l'machsharato. Ela bamsei av adama elyon. I'll go up to the clouds. I'll be like the elyon. He also thought he was of a deity quality. Also, Cherem, the Melech of Tzur, v'chavera, she'asu atzma lukos, they claimed they were of a divine nature because of their power, the money, and the influence they exerted. Hayu Rishayim, they might have been Rishayim, but they weren't Shaitim Gemurim because they, since they knew judicial astrology and they saw how the mazel impacted upon them, they developed the thesis that it's because of their innate qualities, because of their uniqueness, because of their hatzlacha, which means that God has given them some divine powers. So that was what I would call level number two of Avodah Zarah, which primarily Rabbi Yossi started to take place from the time of Migdal Bavel and came to the Dar HaFloga. What's the Min HaShlishi? What's the third level? Avodah Zarah. Archa ka chozu lavoid es hashedim. Shadim Aruchas are also spiritual entities, demons and such, that the Rebbeinu Shem created also at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. He gave them special powers, especially punitive powers, when it comes to their Keches. The Gemara Rabbi Yisai is full
of Shadim literature. I mean, the Gemara says if you would have the ability to see Shadim, how many Shadim are to your left and to your right, etc. and etc., you wouldn't be able to bear, you know, the thought. So could obviously Shadim or Shady people, Shady entities, was part of a belief at that point in time. I will tell you very shortly what the Rambam's approach is, but there's no question the Ramban held, based upon the dark forces Hashem created, he created also Shadim as part and contributory to these specific dark forces. Go back inside. And he therefore said, Hashem Ruchas Kasha Farish Bez Hashem, Ki Gamehim Yesh Mamunim Al Umos, there are Shadim that are also in charge of different nations. They should be a negative power to mazik those who are adversaries of the of those nations, or those who are nichshol of those nations. Shebehem ki yiduim inyanim bechachma negromancia. Negromancia, some say, means black magic. Others say it means necromancy when it comes to Darush Olamesim. Vegam bedivir Rabbeinu. The Torah itself criticizes people who used to worship or bring kabanos to Shadim. What does it say? Nobody in the early generations ever gave any power to Shadim on the level that this third group of people did. They don't have divine powers, as in fact Malachim do. These specific demons don't have any divine powers given to them. The Kayful Shaltanis and Shlito happens in this world in a big Malach way. Fahim Chadashim, this is a new type of worship. Shalandullah says Kaim Chadash, Mina Mitzri Hamachashim. It seems Egypt was the one who started to spread demonology. Figam Avasem Harashaim, it's interesting. Even our forefathers who were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, like Terach Rabbi Yisai, or like Nimrod, Losarim Klal were not involved in demonology. They might have been involved in other types of Avodah Zarah, but not demonology. The generation of Klai who left Mitzrayim and saw the demon worship that took place in Egypt, but the Baruch Hashem says, I don't want you to follow their way of sacrifices to the demons that you saw in the 210 years you were Mitzrayim. So we therefore see Rabbi say in a summary statement that the Rabbanu Shel, when it comes to divine service, not only gave us a mitzvah, say, v'nech Hashem Elokecha, and we spent time to explain theologically what that pasuk means, but now the Rabbanu Shel in the pasuk, lo yiloh ha'lim ha'chem ha'panai, so the Ramban says, as a summary statement from this point on, l'kach hizir b'tchilo yiloh ha'lim ha'panai, which means to say, ha'min ha'rishon, don't start worshiping Rabbi Say other types of entities that are called Elohim, which is a code name for Malachim. Shazo Apanai Kasher Ramazdi Sidro, the Hizra Od, Al HaPesel V'Gal Malacham Tumunos, when it comes to graven images, Shatimos, Gam Ledova HaRuchani HaMeduma, that's referring Rabbi Say to the Kachavim Mazalos, that was stage number two. Kin Shekosav Yamalav V'la Akim Areyu, Tumuno Lenegat Einai, V'Kenorma Hashem Shemayim, La Rabbis, to worship the Chama and the Levana, the Kechavim and the Mazalas, Mimal, with the rabbis, Malchai Shares, to worship angels, Kigam Behem Yasid, Tsuros. Some people even made figurines representing angels above, the Sichlam HaNevdalam Shehem, Nefesh LaMazalas, even to those specific entities that Hashem made in Shemayim to supervise the various Kechavim and Mazalas. People made statues to them as well. So we therefore see Rabbi Yisai, all of these psukim in the first of the Aseret Dibros on Loyalacha are referring to the different types of items that were worshipped later on in the history of the world. Asher b'shabamai mitach laretz is l'rabbi shadim. Shadim seems they used to live in a watery region. Mitach asmaim shachneim v'chein amru. And likewise, Chazal say, if you turn the page on top, l'havi habuvia, people used to worship the images of themselves they saw in the water. They looked in the water. They started to worship their images. Brahma Bakula Moshashbahem Los Avdain. You can't bow down to them, you can't worship them. But Shum Avay the cloud, I feel like hey Dai Lahotzi Atsanov Shuska. This is an important thing. Even if your kavana is not to reject the Rabbi Neshama, but to add besides the divine service of God, you're adding other entities into the divine service of God as accessories, as Meshulachim, as Shamashim of the Rabbi Neshalam. This is also looked upon as Avedah Zarah. I can only do divine worship and avoid to Hashem exclusively. Doing it to any other entity, even in conjunction with the Rabbi Neshalam, is biblically prohibited. That's why Chazal, without a question, all the Balei Taisis, all the Rishonim, whether you're basically a German Balei Taisis, or you're a French Balei Taisis, or you're a Spanish Balei Taisis, held the concept of multiplicity in God's Godhead. The Son, the Father, the Holy Ghost, just using that example of the Trinity, multiple Godheads or multiple entities, that's called Shituf. Yemashatif, Shem Shemayim V'Dav Acher. For a Jew to do that is an Issa of a Dezara, Yerek V'Yavar, and there's no question about it. But it came to Jews, to be Meshat to Shein Shemayim as the Iker, even with the Dava Acher, these are accessories, these are other entities, helping the Rabbi Neshalam, that's Issa of a Dezara, and is therefore alluded to in the Psukim of the Chumash in the beginning of the Aseret Dibros. Now, what I want to show you, Rabbi Isai, is something quite interesting. If you look on page number 5 of the Maariv HaKlamos, I want to just contrast certain statements made by the Ramban, a view of what happened over here. First of all, I pointed out to you, historically, when it comes to how early idolatry developed, it's hard really to gear. We know that the second level of idolatry, when it comes to worshiping Kavavah Mazalos, the Ramban says, this really started with the Haflaga, which was 20 generations after Briyat Olam. It was in the Tekufa of when Avram, because Avram was the Bar Plukta of Nimrod, that's when the Haflaga took place. It seems that there were other forms of idolatry before, most probably it was angel worship with Kedemer, and that's why by the time that after the first 10 generations of the world, which was the Dor HaMabul, not only was there Avodah Zarah, and Gilui Arayis, the Sheikh HaSadam, but there was also Chomets and Kedemer, there was a certain, most of society were involved in some earlier primitive forms of idolatry, primarily angelic worship. Real worship of Kochav Mazalos and Kedemer became a function of 10 generations later on when it came to the Haflaga. That's the Shittas HaRamban. The Rambam says a little differently. The Rambam says in Perek Rishon, Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Bibei Enosh. Enosh was the Enochel of Rabbi Yisai of Adam Rishon. He was Shase's son. Tov b'nei Adam, Tos Gedola, Nivra Atz Asrach Me'eis Adar, the Enosh Atzmo, this is a Pella, that even he himself, min ha'tayim hoya, the Zohi Tu'usa, Omer, they made the following statement. Ho of Elohim Barak Kechavim, since the Rabbanu Shem created the stars, the Galgalam Lahanigas Ha'ilam, for the purposes of the symmetry of the universe, to be able to function properly, all the Kechavim, that's called the science, Rabbi Yisai, of astronomy, how all the various types of Kechavim Hazalos interact each other with a certain divine symmetry. When the son of Amaram, the Rebbe Shem put them all the way up in heaven, he did this as a way of also indicating their importance and giving them covet as well. The Haim HaShamoshim HaMisham Shalom Lefanav, these planets and stars, Kavam HaZalos, with a Mishamshim of Hashem when it came to running the divine universe that Hashem created. Ru'uyim Haim L'Shabcham, initially their Kavana was, isn't it appropriate, since the Shamashim of Hashem, for us to give a little praise to them? Uda Faram, Lachlam Kavit, to give a little Kavit to them. Bezer Ratzon Akel, they convinced themselves that God would be happy that we're giving Kavit and we're praising the Shamashim that God created. Not the Teres Avodah Zarah, but they looked upon this in the Rambam's mind as a way of giving homage to the Rabbi Neshalam. So where the Ramban says they worship angels to elicit for them powers to better themselves, that's the Ramban's approach. The Rambam says initially, going back earlier, because it's hard to believe, When it comes to the third generation, the law, we're forgetting the Rebbeinu Shalom, that their kavod, their machshava, even enosh, was by perhaps giving a little kavod to the stars, the kavazalos, you'll be mechaver Hashem's b'shamoshim. So it's as if you're giving indirectly kavod to the Rebbeinu Shalom, Baruch Hu, l'gadol l'chaved ba'am misha gidlo v'kibdo, k'mo shamelech reitz l'chaved avodav ha'oimdim l'fanav, v'zeh kavod l'shamelech, once this became something, a new perspective of giving the covet to these entities, then what happens is when human beings, Rabbi say, are given the ability to be, you know, exploring and to be inventive, some of them take advantage. So what happened? Some said, let's make the temples to show homage and to bring karbanos to these things, lagla karbanos, ulasham ulafaram bidvarim l'shtachvus lamulam kedei lahasig ritzon habore. They thought by doing this, once again Hashem's going to favor them and therefore grant them their special wishes because of the covet they're giving to his shamashim. Bedaitem harav. This was the big philosophical, theological mistake they made. This was the Igav Eschavim in the beginning of the world in a very early historical period. The Kachay Omrim Avadeha Hayodim Ikaram, Roshem Omrim Shein Shemaloka, not Rabbi Yisai, that they said there's no God, Rabbeinu Shalom, Ella, they said, Kaychev Zeh, Husha, which means this Kaychev has the power God gave it, and it's his Shamish, we should worship it. And Yom HaNavi at the end of Bayis Rishon, which was unfortunately stricken with tremendous wanton type of Avodah Zarah, he says in his Pasuk, Mi lo yarucha melech ha-goyim ki lecha yas. So he said to Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom, everybody knows you are the God, the entity. Ki lecha ha-chom ha-goyim lecha ma-chusam me'en kamoch. There's nothing like you. U-ba'achas the mistake they made, he says, even Yemiel said, was people thought this was God's ratzon to give homage to these entities as a way of giving covers. Now that doesn't mean there weren't people at the time of Bayis Rishon who were not already involved in hardcore idolatry, because they were. There's no question that people there were. But those who were perhaps a little more pious of them didn't go that far, but the mistake began early in the Briyas Olam, thinking that I'm going to make therefore some type of worship of Hashem Shamashim to give additional cover to Hashem by giving them cover as well. The Rambam continues on Halacha Beis on the left hand side. Achash Archa Yama Amdu B'nei Adam Neviyah Sheka V'amru She'el Tziva V'amalahem Ivdu Kaicha Poloni. Now we have more people coming aboard. People on Via Sheker who are now starting to develop now their own new religion entirely, saying that the Kaicha said to me, I have a Navua, worship me this way. They made a temple. They now made figurines representing that specific heavenly body. And when it came to what statues they made, they created this in their inventive mind. This specific statue represents this specific star. Shadia ben Avasa gave me a prophecy of how he wants his statue to look on the earth. Realize this statue has the power to do good to you, has the power to do evil to you. Therefore, it's appropriate to worship it, to be fearful from it. If you worship this idolatry, this will give you hatzlach in this world. Do such and such, and don't do such and such. And other liars, other falsifiers came above. It's at this tekufa that the forgetfulness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was promulgated by these Nevi'ah Sheker, and God as being an entity involved was totally wiped out in these generations, because these new false religious leaders in the Nevi'im said that the Koich of himself had his own power. HaKoich Atzma wal Galgol HaMalech Diba Mehem Vamalahem Ivduni Bekach Vekach V'Dilahem Derech Avadaso V'as Sukach Atas Sukach U'Poshet HaDov Hazeh B'chol Olam Lavad HaSatsuris HaBavodish Mashunas HaMizu U'Lahakri Behem V'Shtachlas V'Chevin She'orchu HaYomim Nishtachach Hashem V'Hanichba V'Hanora. People forgot about the Rebbeinu Shalom. That's how good a job of PR that they did. The priests of these idolatries, they promulgate the only gods are the gods of the stars and the galgalim, that were made to represent them, ulad musam, avol sur ilamim, which is a code word for the Rabbeinu Shalom, v'hayushum adam shemakiro. 99% of the world were caused to forget about the Rabbeinu Shalom as this developed Rabbi Yisai in the first 20 generations of the world. There were Yechidei Skula in the Tanakh, in the Chumash, that maintained their knowledge of God. Who were they? Chanoch is mentioned as a Mishalach. Mesushalach is mentioned as a special person. Noach, Shein Ve'eva Rabbi Yisai, that family. So these Yechidim, while they knew, 99% of the world has forgotten because of what happened over here. Turn the page to page 6. This continued, Rabbi Yisai, until 20 generations into the world. When Avram came around, it was Avram, as the Rambam is going to describe, changed the situation, because he's the one who ended up in Mak Elohim and starting to wage a battle against the people of his generation. Now this Avram Avinu is interesting. If you look very carefully in Halacha Gimel, he describes how Avram became cognizant of the Rabbeinu Shalom. Kevin Shenigmal Eisen Zeh, when he became, quite obviously, 3 years of age, Avraham, he's very sophisticated, Hiskel L'Shoyte B'Daito, who Katan, he started looking at the natural universe in which he lived, and he started to have a tremendous bewilderment. How can the world rotate by itself? There shouldn't be an entity in control. Interesting. He said, according to the Rambam's approach, Avram initially had no Rebbe to gear him towards monotheism. Lomadiya Dava, Ella Meshuka Haya Borda Kazdim. He was literally Rabbi Yisai placed in Orda Kazdim. That's in Iraq, Rabbi Yisai. Bein Oivde Vedazara Hatip Shim. For Ava Ve'ima Ve'kalam Oivde Vedazara. His whole family Oivde Vedazara. Who Oivde Mehem, as a little child, he was brought up to worship. In fact, his father was an idol manufacturer, idol dealer. The liba mishayte to movin, ad shehisig derech emes. He continued and continued. The haven kavat tzedek betuchanat mitvanas anachena. He was able to figure out who the Rabbeinu Shalom was. For yodesh yesham aloka echad humanik agalgal. He figured out logic. Only Hashem communicated with him and told Avraham, "I'm the entity you're looking for." Vehu bar hakol ve'ein kol hanibba nimsa elach chutz mimenu. He came to therefore the philosophically logical rejection, logically of the idols. V'yada shekol oylam toyim v'dava shegram l'tavzeh she'oydin kachavim asuras ach aver emes midaita. Then Avram Shon, it took Avram from age 3 to 40 to really buttress his machshavas and come to Tori hakaras alokis. V'hikir Avram is barrow. Kevin Shehikir V'yada, his Kulhashal Chuvos, he started to make a movement. He became an iconoclast to fight and to try to show idolatries and falsehood. Al-Kob and Ordikazdim, once again in Iraq. Larech Dinimahem, to make all different types of disputes and debates. Lomish Ainzu Derech Emesh Atem Holkimbar, Shiba Hatzlamim, he broke idols. This is, we have this recorded in Midrashim. Hiska, and he broke a lot of idols in his father's idol warehouse. Vishilo Deal Am Shain Roy Lava Ella Loka Olam. The only God to worship is the pure man, he's the God above. Baroy Lishtach was Lahakir Lanasech, Kadeshiak Yuru Kala Brum Habaim. For Royal Abin Lashabi Kalatsuraus, she got rid of all of these idols. Kadeshal Yitl Behen Kalam, Kama Elo Shemedam and Shain Shon Eloka Ela Elu, Kavin Shigav Alain Bara Yosef. He was so persuasive. He was such an argumentative person in his debate qualities that he did a good job in trying to wean people away. Bike Shamelech, Rabbi Isai, who is the Melech over here?
Nimrod.
Because he was bad for business, Lahargo, Finas Lones Vyotzlacharin. The Rami usually doesn't mention miracles or stories in the Mishnah Torah. He's alluding to the Kishon Esh miracle that he was thrown into an oven and he was able to escape. He left the Charan. The Hiskalama Likra the Kalgad Lachal Olam, Laudim Shiesha Malaka Echad, Lachal Olam, Royal of Avait. He started making a spiritual rebellion against idol worship and became a major iconoclast. The Mahalak the Kurim Mechabitz Am, Me'il Iam Abu Macha, Ashagil Eretz Canaan, until he came to Eretz Canaan. Vukare Shinem Avikra Shom Hashem Hashem El Elyon. The Chavin turned the page right up on his side. Shahayu. Ha'am miskapsim elav, the people came to him, v'shalwal devarev, v'imadiyah ko'echa chidaito. He was able to answer each person intellectually according to the capacities of that person. Ashur l'derech emes, to bring him back. Ashur miskapsim elav, alaf u'revavas. Even though the Torah has mentioned numbers, tens of thousands of human beings who initially were idolaters returned to monotheism because of the arguments and the proofs of Avram. Vem anche beis Avram v'shalsa b'liba ika god lozer chiba b'sfarim. Now this is a Medrash Chazal mentioned also in Gemara and Avedizara, that Avram, besides breaking idols and besides basically speaking having major debates and speaking about it, he also wrote a book, a treatise of 400 chapters, Chazal say, trying to rebut every Avodah Zarah that existed at that time with logical argumentation. Chiba Basvarim, for a deal, Yitzchak, he gave this message, spiritual message, as a tachlis to Yitzchak to know. For Yoshi Yitzchak Malamed Amachsir, for Yitzchak Hodiel Yaakov, he gave this mission over to Yaakov. Uminol Lalamed, for Yoshi Malamed Amachsir Kolonivim Elov, they continued the tradition of Avram even after he died. The Yaakovino Limei Ban of Kulam, he gave over to his Yudbei Shvatim this service as well. And of his children, this is interesting historically, Hivda Levi, that Levi of his children was already given a position as being the lead theologian and Torah personality by Yaakov Avinu. Hivda Levi Minar Reish Reshiva B'Shiva Lame Derech Hashem Lishma Mitzvahs Avraham. They said that there should be a tradition that Levi should always be in charge for all generations as the disseminator. But then a tragedy took place. That's as long as they were mamish in Eretz Canaan. But when they went out to Mitzrayim for 210 years, and especially they didn't listen to Yaakov and to Yosef to stay in their own place. But after the others died and Yud Bei Shratim, they moved into the neighborhoods next to the Egyptians. So they became mixed in their society. They assimilated and acculturated. Except for Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi didn't assimilate and acculturate. Sh'ama b'mitzas avos. For a moment period of time, Klaus with Mentes Shari Tum in Mitzrayim, the majority of the Jews became involved in idolatry once again, like the Egyptians.
What about Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson? What do you mean, Me'olam? What does he mean, Me'olam?
I don't know.
That's a good question, but I'm not going to get into it. It's a good question. Uma'avas Hashem al Sanu, Umashamro Eshuel Avraham Avinu, Asa Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Kol Aviyam Vishlacho, the Chavin Shinisnaba Moshe Rabbeinu, Bocha Hashem Yisrael and Achlo, Hichtirim Bemitzvos, Hodiim Derech Avodaso, Koma Yemishpa Uchavim Chatem Achareha. So we see over here about a quick history. Now there's one thing that from this Rambam, what I want to contrast, and as we finish off the shiur tonight, next week, Rabbi Sai, B'li Neder, I'm going to get into Christianity and Islam and show you what Chazal said concerning whether these religions are idolatrous or monotheistic. And you'll be surprised what I'm going to reveal to you next week in that shiur. I have a lot of literature to share with you, a lot of shittas Arishenim and Apeiskim. One of the Nafkamin is Rabbi Sai, besides the show going into the church or going into the Vatican, to look at the beautiful pictures there, whether you're allowed to do a thing like that. There are those who, perhaps I'm going to show you, who held that even the Arabs in Islam are looked upon as Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and the mosques are as prohibited as the churches, and there was some chacham because of this who didn't allow people to daven in a mosque, claiming it's a base of Avodah Zarah like a church is. Therefore, they wouldn't allow people to go to Kever Avos in Hebron. We don't pass in that way, but you'll be surprised which one of the Achrenim held that specific way. The obvious thing that's missing from the Rambam's approach over here is the fact that the Rambam never mentions anything about astrology. And the reason he doesn't mention us like the Rambam is because I taught you a couple of years ago when we had a whole summer dedicated to this, that the Rambam had a letter written to him by the German-French Palaitasis about the Gemara and Shabbos, about the question of Mazolos and Kedoymer, what's the Rambam's opinion? And the Rambam, in that famous tshuva, and later on he repeats this again in his Geras HaTemon, and he also repeats this in the Mishneh Torah, he said, astronomy is a science and should be studied, ki hi chachmas mi'as lafnei ha'amin. When it comes to astrology, it is a buba mindset. It doesn't exist in the world of reality. The Rambam looked upon it as a sheker hagadol. It doesn't exist. Literally, shtei yadayim.
That was how does he deal with Avraham Avinu's conversation?
He's saying it never happened. This is their belief of those who believed it, but it's buba mindset. He says this. I'm not just telling you what he says. Don't ask me what he says. I'm telling you what he says.
I don't understand.
I know you don't understand, but the Rambam says he doesn't understand the margin. So the Rambam basically rejected it. He says it doesn't exist. He was a yachid. There weren't too many others who agreed with him. Okay. Rabag held with him and some others. Most of the Rishonim and Achrenim, most, when I say 98-99%, I'll give names, believed in astrology based upon the Makaris you're talking about. And that's why to this very day, I would say by and large, a lot of Yahadus is based upon that belief that there is a phenomenon as astrology. That's why some Aksarim have pictures of the zodiac or other stuff. You know, when it comes to our belief of that, some of the tefillahs, in fact, have been Muslim to that. So the fact of the matter is, when the Vilna Gaon wrote a parish on Sefer Yetzirah, he based his parish on Sefer Yetzirah on astrology. So what I'm saying to you is that the Pashut of Shas is the way the Ramban says it. So that's why the Rambam could not, in his presentation, talk about people worshiping Kachal Mazalos, because in his mind, it was Gunis Megunish. And not only that, in the eighth page of the Maram HaKamas, I have over here on page 8, in Halacha Tezayim, when the Rambam talks about all the concepts of necromancy and the concept of fortune-telling and sorcery, the Rambam says upon all of this stuff, he says, the Pasuk says in last week's Pasha, Lonach Shviyachal of Kesem B'Yisrael, he wants you to know that all of this stuff, he says, is shekev and chazav. There's no value in them whatsoever. Only sechalim and chasrei das, like Nashim and Ketanim, Shengdaitim, Shlema, believe in this type of stuff. But the fact of the matter is, kolu tovu vehevel. And he says, shenim shkubah chasrei hadas. And upon this, the Torah says, toni yem Hashem alakecha. So the Rambam himself rejected that entire concept of metzius. That's why, as he made his plan of how Avodah Zarah developed, he could not follow the Mahalach of the Ramban, because in the Ramban's mind, there was a black magic, and there was a Ruach HaTumah, and there were kinds of Kachamas also given powers as a counterforce
to enhance the Bechiris Chavshes between Klal Yisrael doing the right and not following the wrong. The Ram rejected it. He says these things might exist, but they're fantasies in people's minds. So the question, are you going to believe the fantasy or are you going to believe the MS? That's why the Ram did not follow the Ramban's approach in his description.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.